Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Everyone, it's Matilda
and Helena
from MediaStorm, and today we're bringing you some bonus content on the topic of polyamory. Last week on MediaStorm, we spoke about how a lack of legal protection affects polyamorous people and how relationships outside of monogamy are portrayed in the news. If you haven't heard it yet, just head over to our feed. This week, we're continuing the conversation with our special guest, Leanne Yao, who can be found online at Polyphilia.
Now people are trying a little bit harder to include like polyamorous people like for real in the media.
We're discussing polyamory and pop culture. So how does TV, film, and the wider media shape our views of polyamory? Helena, take it away.
I remember in an early series of Friends where Chandler meets this woman called Aurora and he goes on a date with her. And then on the date, she casually discloses that she's married and that she has a boyfriend. But what is so incredibly interesting about this is that all the other friends pretty much react with like a mild form of disgust or definitely they react with shock.
Ethan is my boyfriend.
What?
Except for is it Ross or Joey go, man, this is the dream.
Right. So then Chandler says, oh, this is every man's dream. Like you get to have sex with somebody, but have none of the emotional parts.
I mean, this is twisted. How could you get involved with a woman like this?
Well, you know, I had some trouble with it at first too, but the way I look at it is I get all the good stuff, all the fun, all the talking, all the sex, and none of the responsibility. This is every guy's fantasy.
And then like, he kind of realizes that like, he needs those parts and he doesn't want to share and then he breaks up with her. But looking back on it, I think like what sticks out the most as much as the friend's reactions to it is that Aurora is portrayed as like very sexy and very sexual.
So explain something to me here. What kind of relationship do you imagine us having if you already have a husband and a boyfriend?
I suppose mainly sexual.
And then when Chandler finds out that she has other partners, he has actually only ever considered her for sex. He hasn't actually tried to have any of the emotional connection. And that was one of, I think, the earliest forms of any kind of polyamorous character I saw on TV, and that's I just thought, horror.
I mean, there are 10 seasons of Friends and a lot of scope for exploring all sorts of relationships, which, you know, they do, but yeah. That is what we see of polyamory. It's 5 minutes of, oh, great, loads of sex, no emotional commitment. And, oh, no, I'm jealous and cuckolded. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
And also, no people of color in New York.
I would say, like, just growing up, I probably saw a lot more examples of just love triangles.
What if you change your mind again?
I won't.
You just did.
I didn't change my mind.
You two slept together. That is awesome.
Look, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have feelings for you. For someone else, and you know who that is.
Sometimes in life, we hit a crossroads and are forced to choose which path we want to take.
You know, main character has, like, two love interests, and then, like, discovers one has a super fatal flaw towards the end and so picks the other one. You know, I think, you know, so many of those rom-coms exist and it's always like, oh yeah, like, it's a choice, and it's just like, wait, you know, couldn't you just come to some arrangement? Like, I don't know, like, did you have to wait for one of them to, like, massively fuck up, like, to pick the other one? I don't know, it never made any sense.
We could also look at reality TV because,
oh, like, my God, I have so much to say about it. So I recently watched this reality TV show called The Ultimatum because my followers were begging me to watch it and get my reaction. And basically the premise of The Ultimatum is that, like, there are these couples who have been together for, like, a reasonable amount of time, and one of them wants to get married, like, ASAP, and the other one doesn't.
Ultimatum. I want a ring on this finger.
One partner is ready to get married and the other isn't sure.
You'll each choose a new partner.
You'll move in together for 3 weeks. At the end of this experience,
you guys will have to choose to marry the person you've arrived here with or to split forever.
You have to make a choice to marry the new person who you have known for 3 weeks, marry the person you came onto the show with but have already technically cheated on them with, or leave the show alone. And it's genuinely the most batshit thing, like, I have ever seen.
Sorry about my snort laugh just there.
The human mind is a wonderful thing.
I mean, it was genuinely just like, I think it really, like, perverted the concept of polyamory, right? Because what these people were doing was essentially, like, yeah, like, a very unethical kind of form of polyamory. They also, like, created so much drama where, like, everyone was going on dates, like, in the same room. So, like, you could either choose to, like, focus on the new person that you were speaking to and try and form a connection with them to see if you could live together for the next 3 weeks. Or, peep the corner of the eye, your potential fiancé, like, flirting with someone new. And it was genuinely just, like, it blew my mind.
Did anyone marry the new partner of 3 weeks?
Yeah, like, some people got with, like, their new partner, some people ran back to their existing partner as soon as they could.
I mean, at the end of that process, you probably just got people who are now in love with two people.
Yeah, and traumatized.
And also, yeah, destined for trauma.
But
yeah.
Actually, so many of these shows, like Love Island, Married at First Sight, The Bachelor, Temptation Island, like, the ultimate reward is monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to coin your phrase, batshit.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, marriage is not the end goal. Like, I mean, it shouldn't be, right? Like, these young women, like, on this show who are like, if he doesn't put a ring on it, it doesn't mean anything. And it's like, why are you thinking like this? Like, you've been together for, like, 3 or 4 years, and just because, you know, they're not ready to, like, kind of, like, sign some documents with you, like, suddenly your relationship means nothing?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's a concept in the polyamorous community called the relationship escalator. It was coined by someone called Amy Gowron, who runs solopoly.net. Huge props to her. So the relationship escalator is like this concept where there's like this kind of designated progression of a relationship, right? You date and then you become exclusive, and then at some point you like move in together or get married, and then you have kids, and then you have an old, you know, white picket fence, and you know stay together until you die. And you know, basically it's the relationship escalator. Not the relationship stairs or the relationship ladder, because it's effortless. It's almost unconscious. You know, you feel like you're kind of supposed to, and you're kind of swept along in the throng of like everyone else who's doing the same thing. And you know, I think the ultimatum encapsulated that to, you know, a huge extent, because people were obsessed with the concept of marriage, obsessed with the concept of, you know, like becoming like legally bound to like affirm the validity of their relationship, and ignoring, you know, and willing to throw everything away like for this one thing. And I think all of us really, you know, would do better to divest ourselves from, you know, associating like love with marriage or love with monogamy. Because, yeah, like I do think it is destroying us all.
I mean, it's so normalized. It is so, so normalized. I think some representations of polyamory on reality television have got slightly better potentially. Mm. I'm interested in what you think about Channel 4's. They recently had a reality show called Open House, The Great Sex Experiment. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen this show, monogamous couples come to a luxury retreat to test whether opening up their relationships and having sex with other people will strengthen their bond. Under the guide of a psychologist and a sex and an intimacy coach, they speak about how opening up their relationship makes them feel. In a way, it could be said that this show was good for people to see poly curious couples exploring, but there's also, I imagine, there were huge downsides, because I mean, the name of the show, for one, The Great Sex Experiment, once mm-hmm. again just linking polyamory to sex. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I do think that Open House like primarily focused on kind of sexually open relationships rather than polyamorous ones. So, you know, in that sense, like, I don't think it was, like, a misnomer to call it The Great Sex Experiment. You know, I actually enjoyed the show. Like, I thought it was pretty good. You know, having the psychologist to guide the couples, like, through, you know, like, navigating the treacherous waters of opening up a long-term monogamous relationship, was really instrumental in making the show good, because it showed that, you know, it wasn't, like, the ultimatum or, like, whatever other kind of Netflix, you know, reality TV shows you've seen where, you know, you just put a bunch of traumatized, chaotic people in a room and just see what happens. You know, like the people on the show were really invested in the long-term success of these couples, you know, the long-term sustainability of like their open relationships, in terms of like whether they were ready to, whether they were doing it for the right reasons, you know, how, whether they were like communicating effectively and setting boundaries effectively. And, you know, I liked that at the end, like they also showed, you know, like whether the couples like went on to like continue practicing open relationships, and, you know, how they fared like afterwards. Obviously it had its flaws. Like I think that there could have been more like, you know, queer couples on the show. Like they were mainly just like MF couples, and I would have liked to see more diversity there, you know, gender or kind of race wise. And I also thought it was a bit strange that essentially they hired a bunch of people to like essentially be a unicorn market for these couples to like hunt a person to have a threesome with from. And I don't think that was a particularly great introduction for them to kind of step into the real dating world, which is very much not like that. But yeah, I think the way they explained it, the way they helped the couples, you know, on their journey, the way they like talked through their feelings, you know, in the aftermath, if there was like a rupture or conflict, I thought it was actually quite good. I thought it was very sensitively portrayed in that sense.
So it can get better. Reality absolutely. TV, you yeah. can be better.
Another surprising right. bit of representation was the Gossip Girl reboot.
What?
Yeah. Which I was the last show that I expected this
oh
from.
My god.
Yeah, but the Gossip Girl reboot, like season one, there is like a polyamorous triad, but instead of, you know, one man with two bisexual women, it's one woman with two bisexual men. So firstly, bisexual male representation on screen. You rarely see that.
You rarely
but also
see that.
Like it was, I mean, you know, how they got together was a little bit chaotic, but like, but you know, it's Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
But like, I actually thought it was how it ends and, you know, how they resolve like their differences, like, was really adorable.
Wow. I mean, it's not going to be Gossip Girl here, a really functional and non-exciting triad relationship. End of episode.
Can I just say that this is the second week in a row that Gossip Girl has come up in our recording, because remember we were talking about Dorota from Gossip Girl last week? We were talking about representations of Eastern European people in pop culture yesterday and last week, and we were speaking about Dorota. Apparently, we're just sponsored by Gossip Girl now.
What does the exploitation of Eastern Europeans and polyamory have in common?
Gossip Girl.
Thank you for listening. Have you heard the latest episode of the Guilty Feminists Culture Club with the amazing Juliet Stevenson talking about The Doctor, which is in the West End now? Plus, the next episode of Media Storm on menopause and the tough combo of ageism and sexism will be out next week on Thursday, the 24th of November. See you then.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.